Guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Jen Latta, Katie George, holding it down here for Dan and Stu Gotz, who are on vacation. We still got the SC, though. Hey, guys. No, they're not even paying attention to us. It's fine.
That's what happens.
No one ever does, Katie.
In. Yep. SportsCenter. I'll just go to my SportsCenter by being ignored. Eric Bledsoe, Bucks guard, tested positive for the coronavirus and yet has not made his trip to Orlando, but he is supposed to join his team momentarily once he gets two negative tests. The Mideastern Athletic Conference has suspended all fall sports indefinitely because of the ongoing coronavirus pandemic, but hasn't determined whether the fall schedules will be moved to the 2021 spring semester. Say hello to Casper, the sleep company with outrageously comfortable products such as award-winning mattresses, pillows, and bedding. Go to Casper.com now. Casper has everything to build the dream bedroom. That's Casper.com. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
We are joined now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line by Kaylin Kaler. Kaylin, how do you pronounce your name?
Kaylin Kaler. You had it.
There we go. I had it, and then I didn't have it, and then I had it again.
Great.
Kaylin is responsible for this incredible, this mind-blowing expose on former NFL player, former Green Bay Packer, Kabir Bajabiamila. She is a former SI staff writer. You can find the piece on Twitter, online. It's a three-part piece that basically details his involvement in a... Man, Kaylin, I don't even know what you would call this. I'd like to call it a cult, but maybe that's disrespectful. His religion. Start us off. How did this piece come to your attention?
Yeah, so it came to my attention, I think, the way it came to a lot of people's attention who either don't live in Green Bay or who hadn't really been closely following, you know, Kabir's post-retirement life. And it was with a incident that happened in December involving a kid's Christmas program with a private Christian school in Green Bay. This became news headlines because there were arrests that happened. And basically, in a nutshell, what happened was Kabir had always been a very fanatic Christian during his playing career. And then after he retired, about 3 years ago, he got involved with a group that is Hebrew Israelite. And really Old Testament based, and they don't identify as Christian. They are pretty anti-Christian. They sort of think Christians are hypocrites, and they put out a lot of YouTube videos just negative about Christians. So he was not happy that his children, he has eight children, and a few of them were part of this Christmas program. And with his beliefs now, Christmas is a pagan holiday. So he didn't want his children to be part of this Christmas program, even though he hadn't seen them in 2 years because, you know, his new beliefs had kind of split up his family because his wife and children did not want to follow him into this religious group. So he is basically leading a chapter of this religious group in Green Bay. He's like the community leader of this branch of the group, which is called Straightway Truth Ministry. So two of the guys who are part of this branch, who are part of his Green Bay chapter, they're white guys in their early 20s. He sent them to the Christmas program to, in his own words, he said, to take video and photos of his children, who he refers to as his property, being involved in this Christmas show against his approval, like without his consent. He wanted evidence of that. So the two guys show up and they're concealed carrying. So they both have guns hidden in their waistband and they don't have a permit. And the headmaster of the Christian school, he recognized them from a biblical debate that they had earlier. And he kind of thought this might escalate. He knew they had been having some disagreements with Kabir about this Christmas program. So he was afraid of what might happen. And he also knew that the group is very into arming themselves and self-defense. So he sort of assumed that these guys were carrying weapons on them. So he asked them to leave. They wouldn't leave. So he ends up calling the police. The police come and they end up arresting the guys because they are carrying guns to a school event without a permit to be carrying. And so it sort of escalated into this sort of dramatic night. And the community rightfully was very afraid of this because it was sort of a what could have happened situation. So that is how I found out about this story. And I read the news story. One of my editors sent it to me and he was like, I think there might be something here. And I read the news story. And I was like, absolutely. There is a story here and I need to find out what it is. So that's how I got interested in this.
Well, that's an understatement, Kaylin, because I was brought this story by Jen, who wanted to discuss it on our show today. So in prep last night, I read all three chapters that you have published on Sports Illustrated. And I felt like I was reading, but watching a Netflix expose or docuseries, right? From your writing, you did a phenomenal job. And I would recommend anyone who's got time to go read it. Tell me if this is fair, because I'm trying to liken the Straightway Trust ministry to something familiar, right? And I don't know if that's fair because every religious community, every religious group is different, and I understand that. But when you were doing this story and talking to different people and learning more about Straightway, did you see any similarities between that group and what we saw from Waco and David Koresh and the Davidians? Because for me, and this might be wrong, and I want you to educate me, for me, as I was reading through your articles, it reminded me a lot of the Waco situation. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's fair. And that was something that came up with a lot of people that I interviewed, with former teammates, with, you know, religious scholars and people who are, like, deep into this field. That came up a lot. And actually, it's fair to say that because Kabir brought it up himself. I mean, I was stunned when he told me in our interview, in our 6-hour interview, he brought up the fact that he's been studying David Koresh and what happened to him. And I think by that he meant, you know, he was watching the Netflix series and probably doing some reading about it, because he is self-aware of how the community is a little bit afraid of him right now. And I think he's aware that, you know, I mean, he told me himself he called the FBI because he found out from somebody that the FBI was looking into him. So he told me that he called them himself to try to get out in front of it because he doesn't want to be the next David Koresh. And he brought that up. He said he has been studying what happened to him to try to learn kind of like what not to do. So he is aware enough to know, yeah, there are some real similarities here. And he's afraid, you know, after what happened with the Christmas program and all the news reports that went out about that, I mean, he's afraid that people might attack him. He doesn't really understand why people think he's dangerous and why people are afraid of him. He's more afraid of the other way around, like the feds will raid him or another religious group will raid his property. So he brought that up himself, which I thought was really interesting.
Kaylin Kaler joins us here on ESPN Radio, the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, talking about her article on SI.com about Kabir Bajabiya-Miller. Full disclosure, I covered Kabir during his time in Green Bay, and this is what I will tell people about Kabir. He was always willing to fill your microphone or fill your notebook, right? And he would talk about the game, he would answer your questions, he would, you know, talk positions, talk matchups and all of that stuff. But inevitably the conversation would turn to religion. And so as an experienced reporter, you would have to kind of remove yourself from the scrum before it turned to that, or you would get sucked into where he would basically be using it as a pulpit. And so reading this, I was like, this makes sense. Like, he was so passionate about his religious beliefs then, they hadn't taken this extremist turn at that point. It was still, like I said, based in Christianity, like you mentioned. What was interesting to me, though, Kaylin, is that he is not the only NFL player who has aligned himself with this organization. So what is it about this group that resonates with former players?
Yeah, so that was the most, like, kind of like the twist in my reporting when I found out that Robert Mathis and Daniel Muir were also part of this group. And I found that out because Kabir posted a video of his wedding, his most recent marriage to a woman also part of the religious group. And Daniel and Robert were in his, like, wedding party, like, dancing down the aisle. And I recognized Robert Mathis, and I was like, oh my God, that's Robert Mathis. So I think what really appeals to them is, and Kabir said this is in his own words, he said that the leader of this group, his name is Pastor Charles Dowell. If you watch his videos, he's very masculine. He's super muscular. He does a lot of sort of like body language that is very macho. He speaks directly to you. He does not sugarcoat anything. Kabir said that appealed to him because he seemed like a coach. He was like a coach figure to him, like the same kind of authoritative male figure that he'd been playing for. You know, during his playing career and his whole life playing football. And he said, Dowell is a man's man. And he sort of said, well, he said directly that Christianity was soft and Christianity was feminine. And I think what happens to some former players, I don't want to generalize too much, but certainly in the case of Kabir, he retired and he entered this more like feminine world where he wasn't completely always around men. and especially for him, of his eight kids, he has seven boys. So he had always, you know, had a more masculine upbringing and a more masculine family. And so then when he retires, I think he was looking for that same sort of coach figure again. And he said that Christianity was really feminine. So I think that's one of the things that really appeals to them in this. And it also, there's a lot of ex-military guys who are part of this group as well. So there's a similarity between ex-football players and ex-military. And Robert Mathis and Daniel Muir made the same comparison of Jowell as a coach. So I think there's really an obvious connection there between, you know, their background as a football player and why they're attracted to this religion.
Kaylin, I found it educational, thought-provoking, I mean, downright fascinating, right? What do you hope people take away from the three-chapter serial long-form series that you've posted on SI?
Yeah, so I think, like, the biggest thing that I learned was just how easy it is, you know, and I think when you look at Kabir from the beginning of his playing days, like Jen just brought up, how he was really fanatic about Christianity then, and it's not shocking to see where he's ended up now. When you look back, you can kind of see incrementally every step along the way. And that was what was so fascinating to me in this process of reporting, is that, you know, you can so easily, because of YouTube and because of everything that we can find on the internet these days, you can so easily change your whole life just based off of watching a few YouTube videos that turn into a few more YouTube videos that turn into a few more. And so for me, that was really fascinating. It reminded me of the New York Times podcast Rabbit Hole, which is about radicalization on YouTube and sort of extremism on YouTube and how you can easily get into that. And so that's really what I took away from this, is like how, you know, Kabir is not a crazy person. Like he wasn't this, you know, out of control, like wild person. He was a normal guy, and he still is a normal guy. He's just kind of fallen into this rabbit hole, I guess. And so that was really fascinating to me. And I learned a lot from talking to his former teammates about what Jen was talking about how he was so into Christianity then and not afraid to challenge people and not afraid to have uncomfortable conversations. And so when you look back, you can just see how it all played out. And I think that is sort of the lesson I learned, is just how, you know, available things are online, and it can really change your life.
Kaylin Kaler joins us here on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, talking about her piece, Pray for Kabir, which is available on sportsillustrated.com right now. You can go to her Twitter, which is Kaylin Kaler, to find it. I'm curious about you personally and how this may have affected you. This story was very difficult for me to read, especially when we were talking about the way that women are treated in this group, and some of the violence against women that seems to be not only accepted but encouraged because of the hierarchy in the religious group. Did you, and again, we look, you're a professional journalist, so you have to separate yourself from that stuff, but did it affect you to be seeing these women and talking to these women who had experienced a lot of this?
Absolutely. It was alarming. You know, the young woman who was sexually abused, she couldn't even talk to me on the phone because it was too raw for her. So we did our whole interview over, you know, a messaging app. And then I did video chat with her later just to confirm, you know, I wasn't being catfished, because that was a whole other issue with this story, is like everyone was so paranoid. In terms of people who had left this religious group, they were all so paranoid, and that, you know, I wasn't who I said I was. And then I became paranoid that they weren't who they said they were. But yeah, it absolutely affected me. And it was really sad to hear her story, and to hear the way they talk about women and the way that Kabir talks about his eight children. He refers to them as property. And at one point in their interview, he referred to them as like crops that washed away in a storm. And he like is just completely detached from his children. So that was just, you know, disturbing, obviously. And yeah, reporting the story was, I mean, obviously it affects you personally, because I had to watch so many of their YouTube videos, because the unique thing about this reporting process is that all of the information is out there. It's all online. It's all on YouTube. You just have to sit through and have the patience to watch all of this content. And, you know, at one point in the reporting process, I started having dreams about this group. And I was like, I said to my editor, I was like, hey, make sure that like I'm not indoctrinated by the end of this, because I'm consuming like so much of their content. Like, and wow, this is how you get you know, this is how you get into it. And, you know, I'm fine now. I can say I'm fine. I survived. But it was like, you know, you do get the sense of like, okay, so this is how people get involved in this, because I did have to watch so much of their stuff.
Kaylin, you did a fantastic job. Excellent reporting. It is a captivating, startling, disturbing story. Thank you for uncovering it. And thank you for chatting with us here on the Dan Lebatard Show today.
Thanks, Kaylin.
Thanks so much, John and Katie.
ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. If you missed any of the show, you can listen to all 3 hours of the Dan Lebatard Show, plus our Miami only hour and our best of podcast on demand in the ESPN app. And subscribe to the Lebatard and Friends podcast network featuring South Beach Sessions, Stupidity, and Mystery Crate. Please rate and subscribe. New episodes are posted every week wherever you get your podcasts. I didn't want to go full Stu Gotts there. Jen Latta, Katie George, holding it down for Dan and Stu Gotts as I stumbled over South Beach Sessions. I can't believe that we haven't talked about, speaking of South Beach, that there was a kangaroo loose in Fort Lauderdale yesterday with y'all. Like, did anybody encounter the kangaroo? Did anybody, was anybody on a search party for the kangaroo?
I was not on the search party. I saw the video. It was a little alarm. Kangaroos are one of those animals that just looks like they're going to really hurt you. Like,
they
like, you know
do.
What I mean? They seem like they're tensed up. I don't want them to
they're
get really
muscular.
Angry around me, but they actually captured it pretty seamlessly.
I actually think that's legit about kangaroos. I think kangaroos could really F you up.
So break this down for me. What on earth happened? Why was there a kangaroo loose in Fort Lauderdale?
Damn it,
kangaroos. I have no...
Sometimes kangaroos just do what kangaroos do, and they leave their pens, and they just run around. They want
sometimes they hop over the fence.
Apparently,
you know, maybe
it's still a mystery.
Was it from the zoo, or was it from somebody's personal zoo? I know they got those down in Florida.
I don't think they know.
Carol Baskin, she lives down there.
Authorities in South Florida are trying to figure out how a marsupial ended up hopping through the streets of Fort Lauderdale. This is actually a decent segue, because marsupial is another great name for kangaroo. We have also been spending part of today's show coming up with other names for fruit, as we recently learned that avocado should also be referred to as an alligator pear.
Are we sure we want to go down this? I mean, Josh tweeted in that this was stupid. So,
oh, it's hella stupid.
Josh said,
doesn't think this is stupid, show of hands. Yep, there's none. Oh,
but you two, you four are the professionals. Tony, Billy, Roy, Chris, Josh included you in the tweet and said, working with the talented, professional, excellent, mighty, I'm actually throwing in buzzwords, but he said, if you guys were any kind of producers, you wouldn't allow us to talk about this kind of content. Fruit.
Yeah.
Has he not listened to the show?
I've listened to the show. I thought this was what...
Can I be honest with you? I'm wondering if Josh has ever listened to the show, if I'm being real.
I mean, yellow canoe? Who doesn't want to call their bananas a yellow canoe?
Again,
that was sneaky. One of the worst options, by the way.
No,
we
wasn't.
Let you slide on that one, Katie. I mean, if I'm being honest, maybe mine was terrible, but you're right there with me. Come on,
well, then, what would you have called a banana?
I will say this. Asterisk next to Katie's selection of banana, because it's a dangerous. It's a dangerous fruit
sexual,
to have to rename,
Chris.
Right?
It's right? Friday morning, for gosh sakes.
Shakes.
I don't want it to be sexual.
Gosh sakes.
Why are you throwing that at me?
What if we call the banana an edible boomerang?
Ooh,
I don't hate it.
That's actually pretty good.
I don't hate it.
I mean, it's good, just like yellow canoe. Like yellow canoe
recap?
Is good as well.
Katie, you have the list over there. Can you recap for us, please? I love that she has to flip through her notebook. Like, she's got legit notes on certain sports topics, and then one of her pages has
songs, and then the other page has made up
fruit. And we'll get to that in a second as well, because ESPN Daily newsletter listed the top 10 sports anthem. Arena anthems. I keep jamming that up, man. Arena anthems. So we have the list there. You guys have been killing it on the Twitter line, giving us suggestions. We had issues with a couple of the songs that were included. Full disclosure. Katie, the list of the fruit pseudonyms is...
Chris was given red grapes. He came back with snake blueberries because he believes the skin of red grapes... is coarse and
wah.
Great answer.
Textured?
Like Family Feud.
Good answer.
Okay,
good answer.
Roy Roy had coconut, and he came back with husk fruit. Tony had kiwi. He calls them now green fuzzy footballs. Jen had a pineapple. She calls it now the spiky thigh. I had bananas, yellow canoes. And Billy had watermelon, which he is now going with green tiger fruit.
I still think his best submission was the boomerang.
Yeah, I mean, so what did you call that?
Golden boomerang.
Edible?
How about that? The golden boomerang. Mm. We're getting a little meh.
I don't know. Billy, what was it? You said edible boomerang?
I think it was edible boomerang.
I like it.
But we could do edible golden boomerang.
But again, yeah. See what Chris has done here? He's pointed the conversation, the focus to me, so that we are off topic, which is to hate on him and snake blueberries. We can't let him easily divert us like that.
You saw that?
Yeah, I did.
I don't think,
you know,
anybody's,
I don't think anybody's talking.
Did we put this on the poll, by the way? Put this on the poll. Have we put it? No. Look, Billy's like, wow, there's
Billy's
five.
Like, I can only
do four.
It's fine. I have a workaround. You know what? They're all going to be on there, even Chris's stupid suggestion. But when you were telling the stories, I was trying to figure out if we renamed kangaroos, what kangaroos would be named based on what they do.
Uh-huh. Something like a boxer. Don't you? Isn't
there
like a kangaroo boxer?
Yeah.
Hopping?
Maybe like
a hopping...
An upright boxing rat or something like that.
Oh, and another word for boxer is a pugilist, right? That's the other word for boxer. So maybe we could
work. Low-hanging fruit.
Is it pugilist or pugilist?
Pugilist.
I don't know. I didn't know that was the other word for boxing.
Pugilist.
I don't know.
The leaping pugilist. It's the hopping. No, again, adjectives are usually my strong point. I'm a features reporter here at ESPN. Usually words come very easily to me, but this has been a struggle.
Is that kangaroo still loose?
No, they did. They got the.
So who do you call? Like the Ghostbusters, but like for kangaroos? I know it's like pet control, but like, do you call like the normal pet control people who like come find dogs? Billy, you're
raising
your hand.
No lie. I think they took it out, like, in the back of a cop car. Like, they arrested the kangaroo.
Wow.
Yeah.
Handcuffs on that thing?
Well, where's the meme for that? Surely that's got to be the meme the internet needs. Just a kangaroo chilling in the back of a cop car?
He is a cute little bugger. I'm looking at the video right now. I might take him home. If I saw him hopping around the streets of Fort Lauderdale, I got to tell you guys, I might bring him back to my house. Just saying.
Oh, boy. All right. On that note, we're going to break because Roy's like, get us out of this segment immediately, ASAP, in one piece. And we'll be right back. This is Jen Latta and Katie George on ESPN Radio in the ESPN app.
Not necessarily an anthem that I would want to hear at the arena. No. But a good track nonetheless, guys. Good work out there. This is Jen Latta. She's Katie George filling in on the Dan Le Batard show here. All guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Katie, got some sports center?
Well, Bucks guard Eric Bledsoe tested positive for the coronavirus and has yet to make the trip to Orlando to join his team. The Mideastern Atlantic Conference has suspended all fall sports indefinitely because of the ongoing coronavirus pandemic, but hasn't determined whether the fall schedules will be moved to the 2021 spring semester. Whether you're taking in your favorite lookout or lawn chair, sitting on your porch or in the park, Nature Valley Sweet and Salty Bars will help you make the most of your outdoor time. Enjoy a creamy, crunchy, sweet, and salty bar wherever you are. And finally, the rule I before E, you guys, except after C, is disproved by science. A study of over 350,000 words done by a PhD student at the University of Warwick found that except after C is where things actually fall apart. According to the study, the saying should be actually I before E, except after W. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Which makes sense because we discussed earlier in the break that irregardless is now a word. And y'all had thoughts on that. Roy.
Do they not like it?
Oh, this is a complete dumb, like, do people not know English? Do they not know English? And how is science going to debunk English? It doesn't make any sense as my child is humming in the background.
First off, I'm here for your daughter humming. Can we just get some more of that? This is a short segment. If she wants to take over and just sing us a song, Roy's like, Nope, he's allowing it. He's allowing it. He's pulling up a chair. What is your daughter's name, boy?
This is Princess Claire. Princess Claire.
She's eating applesauce currently, so I don't think she's going to say anything.
Oh, shoot. I was hoping she was eating an apple, and therefore you had renamed it something clever, not named Snake Blueberries. But
Katie's not going to
let that go. She did eat an apple earlier.
She did? And what did we call apples? Just the lime of the oranges, Billy, or the lemon limes of the orange life, or could we figure
apples
that
are out? Tricky because there's green apples and there's red apples, and we already know that limes are green oranges. So apples, I'd say apples are light green oranges.
ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Sounds this week have been brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Jen Latta, Katie George, hanging out with the guys. Hey, guys. They were singing. They're singing Sweet Caroline.
Roy wasn't. Roy hates it. I can already tell. It's the look of just disgust.
Sweet Caroline will always make me think of Boston. Is that a legit connection? Is that a sports connection there? Because they play it at Fenway, right? Because we played Shipping Up to Boston earlier. We were having a conversation about the hype music, the anthem. I keep saying that wrong. Arena anthem. The anthems of the arenas. They put out a list today on ESPN Daily on the newsletter. Check it out. Tell us if you agree or disagree with the list. Don't Stop Believin' by Journey was number one on the hype songs. And I got some shaking of the heads happening right now in this Zoom meeting. We had some good ones. We Will Rock You, I think, is always going to be up there. Even if you think it's an old song, I think it was Chris, right, who said, like, that's from the 80s, man. It's still a good song. I don't want to sit here and defend it too much.
I mean, you had.
I don't understand why that's not number one. Why is We Will Rock You not number one? Why is Journey number one in this list?
It's a fair question. And who do we go to about this? You know what? We need a contact. I need contact information so I can send a poignant all caps email to said whoever created this list, because Don't Stop Believin', although a great song and good for Chris's dad's 40th birthday next week, as well as weddings and whatnot, I don't
karaoke.
Feel like that hypes you up as your favorite team gets ready to play on the field or court. Christopher?
Two big omissions for me on this list. Jump Around.
Totally.
That was a good stadium song.
Absolutely.
And Who Let the Dogs Out? Baja Men. Come on. Who let the dogs out?
Oh, get the hell out of here, man.
No. Nope. Cut his mic.
I mean, maybe if the mascot's a dog, but I don't like UMBC, the Golden Retrievers, maybe if they played that at their arena.
What do we think about Party Up? Should that have been on the list? Right?
Okay,
am I getting
so
some nodding? Y'all gonna make me lose my mind.
Up and oh,
thank you,
called
thank
Party
you,
Up. You're
thank
welcome.
You,
I was gonna chime in. Yeah, I think that definitely should be. See, I don't know titles very well, so I have to hear them for me to be like, oh yeah, that's a good song. But I gotta be honest, this list, some of these are great songs, okay, that you like to listen to at your leisure, but not fitting within the landscape of the list. And so that's like Truth Hurts by Lizzo. Banger. Love that song. When I'm with my girls and we're going to party. Run the World by Beyonce. When somebody goes through a bad breakup, like, we put on that song, you know, and that's the anthem of, like, girls rule. Not, hey, the Heat are going to kill the Nuggets today or whatever. I just used Heat because you guys are from Miami.
Lose Yourself by Eminem is on the list. We thought that it was woefully underrated as it came in at number six. I feel like maybe top three, top four. Seven Nation Army, which again, do you guys have that track? Do we have Seven Nation Army? Because I feel like that is one of the biggest arena bangers.
It's not to be confused with Metallica and
Enter Sandman. We covered that earlier. Yes, come on. Right? Like, close your eyes. You're legit sitting in a stadium. R.I.P. to that.
Can we at least get to the part where he starts singing?
Yes.
Come on, Pat. Oh, fine, Pat.
Just
see,
it's an instrumental.
This is how I needed to start my Friday afternoon. Get the weekend going, and I needed this.
And here's the other thing. What about Turn Down for What? I felt like that was an omission from the top 10 as well.
Yeah,
banger.
Snake Blueberries. What else?
You disagree,
is
Roy? No, it shouldn't have been on the list. Turned down
for what? No, it shouldn't be on the list. No. Get that out of here. No.
What about Jungle by like ex-ambassadors? Do you know which one? Kind of starts slow, but like that. No. Okay. I just saw everybody's faces, so I'll stop.
I don't know what that is.
Get ex-ambassadors out of here.
I know what Welcome to the Jungle is.
Sing it. Sing Jungle, Katie. Go ahead.
Well, I can't do that. I can't do that. I don't know. Don't put me in the spot like that.
Because you don't know the song or because you're uncomfortable doing the
I'm sweating, Jen. I'm sweating right now. What about
Think Truth Hurts by Lizzo.
Well, you're a bad singer.
I ain't gonna be great. Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if we clip stuff off on this show, but if somebody could clip that for me, that'd be great.
Who run the world? Girls. Who run the world? Girls. Is that better?
I will say this. Yeah, Elle Duncan,
yeah, I like that. That's
friend
good. That's
of
good.
Program, Elle Duncan, put together a list as well. She's currently on SportsCenter on my television right now. Her list is pretty badass. Her hype list is pretty good. Her hype songs, yeah. So she had Jump Around on there. She had Bring 'Em Out by T.I. on there. That's another good.
I'd like to see Till I
arena.
Collapse from Eminem on there as well. I think Eminem warrants two choices in the top 10, personally.
Yeah, wow, that's really riding the Eminem bandwagon. That's, I don't know if I can.
Doesn't
go
T.I.
along with
that. Have a couple bangers from back in the day?
Well, I just said Bring 'Em Out. That's a good song,
is that
right?
The one
for, like, when your team is running
man.
Out.
Nah, I don't know about Rubber Band Man.
Wait, I only know Rubber Band Man, the one that's like the old one from the 70s.
There's an old one?
Right.
Oh, The Whispers?
Yeah. Is that who it is?
Oh, the Spinners.
Spinners, yeah, the Spinners. That's the only Rubber Band Man I know.
Yeah. I just realized one that we're forgetting. It's a classic. Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Huh?
Okay.
No. How about it?
Oh, my gosh.
How about it?
It seems sports-specific, that one.
It's very
sports-specific. It seems sports-specific. It literally says ball game, although I suppose it could be any ball game.
And that's a pastime.
What about the chicken dance?
Somebody the chicken dance. That's good.
Hokey pokey. Listen, this conversation has gone way off the rails.
Now you're getting into the realm of like what's enjoyable to partake in, not get hyped up with.
That's straight up like old weddings, right? Like we used to do the chicken dance at weddings. We used to do the hokey pokey at weddings, right?
It's hard to do the chicken dance at a stadium because the part where you have to lock arms with people, there's no room for that in my aisle. So it's tough to do that part.
Do you guys know the Queen song where he's like, "Oh, oh," you know, and like everybody repeats?
Yes.
Yep.
I don't know what that song is called.
I saw Bohemian Rhapsody.
First off, great movie. Second off, that's like an interactive thing, like the Lion King one where you raise your children in the air. Like those are songs, like the chicken dance and the hokey pokey and the wave, they're interactive. So I don't
Circle
I think that's
of life.
A completely different realm. Do you know what I'm saying? As compared to what we're talking about.
Okay,
here.
So but here's the thing, like I don't want to be doing the right foot two steps. Left foot, two steps. Slide over here.
Slide.
I don't want that one. I don't want the cha-cha slide.
Everybody clap your hands.
Exactly. But I do think that was the impetus for We Will Rock You, right? Like in the movie, they talk about how they wanted a song that the audience could participate with, and that's why they did the do-do-ch, do-do-ch.
Ooh, Jen, that's good. Guys, build with it.
No, they're
nobody,
not having
no,
it.
No, they're like, this is Friday.
They're like, it's the end of the show. We are done.
Like, we have 90 seconds till I get to shut off all technology from these women.
And bad singer?
I will say this. On a day that followed the release of a story from the Washington Post, which detailed rampant sexual harassment in the Washington football franchise's front office, we touched on it. We talked about it. We gave our points. And then we gave y'all pseudonyms for fruit and hype songs. So
you're welcome.
I think check, we did our job here.
Josh.
Our job's done.
Josh, you know who you are. At me, because this was a good show. Jen,
she's Katie George. I'm Jen Latta. Thanks for listening to the Dan Le Batard Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. See ya.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.